Hey everyone, welcome to another edition of the Final Down NFL Podcast. With me, Jim, Punk Raider, and Denver Dave. We're talking about NFL boys. How are we doing?
Not too bad.
Better than we were.
Oh, excellent. Well, before we knew it, we're already at the final stop in our compass, and we're in the West, a place that you two know very well. And a bit unfortunate that Finn can't make it this week, but we're also going to be hitting the NFC West as well as the AFC West in our autopsy series. We've done the East, the South, the North, and now it's time for the West. The idea is that we spend 5 minutes on each team, so we don't spend overly long on any of them. And we're going to work from top to bottom. And we're going to start with the best division first. So that, of course, means we're going to the AFC, starting in the West at the top, the Super Bowl champion, Kansas City Chiefs. This year, they went 11-6. Last year, they were 14-3. Best game, worst game? Well, they won the Super Bowl. Again, Kyle Shanahan served up another Lombardi for them, so that must be their best game. Worst game, they conceded 27 points to the Packers in a loss, punched themselves in the face with divisional losses to the Broncos and the Raiders, and Kadarius Toney cost them a win over the Bills. Mahomes claimed that the Raiders' loss was their worst, so let's go with that one. Obviously, no change in the coaching staff. Brett Veach, the GM, Andy Reid, Matt Nagy, and Steve Spagnuolo as the coordinators. Boys, talk to me about the best team in the AFC West.
I definitely agree with the worst game. We managed to beat them with a quarterback that only completed passes in the first quarter and a rookie second year running back that, you know, ran. Apart from that, it was all defense. So, I definitely agree with that. Look, at the end of the day, I think we said it all through the playoffs, didn't we? How the Chiefs keep being set up as underdogs and this, that, and the other. And look, they're just very, very good. They're very well coached. It's galling that Patrick Mahomes is as good as he is. I don't think there's any question that, you know, he's up there in that top 10 conversation all time already, which ain't bad considering he's only been in the league, what, 5 years? 6 years?
It feels like a lot longer than that.
It does feel like a lifetime, but, you know, I'm sure Bills and Dolphins fans were saying the same about Brady, so... It's an interesting one. Look, I think the Chiefs can consider themselves slightly fortunate that they weren't in a stronger division last season, because with some of the losses they were getting around mid-season, they looked at times as if they'd be in trouble, because they were certainly not putting up a lot of points, but they seemed to just find a different way of winning games. Whereas we're used to kind of that offense putting the points on the board, and, you know, Kelce and Co receiving for ridiculous amounts of yards. This time it wasn't a quick hit offense, it was very much kind of defense led. So they've kind of proven that they can win in many, many different styles, and that's pretty scary for the rest of us, to be honest.
What's scary is this is the worst personnel of a team outside of the quarterback that I think has ever won the Super Bowl. If you took 31 other, so now Punk's looking at the ceiling wondering. I want to add the caveat of, in my NFL lifetime, it's the worst team outside of the court. If you take the quarterback out and swap him with the 31 other in the league, they don't win the Super Bowl. Simple as that.
I can't
think of many other teams who have been so heavily led by one singular player. You think about those Patriots teams and all of them. Yes, Brady was the best, but their defense often was brilliant. I know the Chiefs' defense was good, but, you know, it's not a Super Bowl all-time winning team that dominates the league. It's the first time they've had a good defense, really. But it's not the best defense in the NFL. It's probably not in the top five, in all honesty. Pittsburgh defense is better than Kansas. Simple as that. I don't necessarily think they're... I don't want to say they're not the best team in the NFL. They probably are, because they've got the best players, as simple as that. And they're going to only improve. They've just signed Chris Jones again, which is a massive, massive bonus for them. Yeah. But as Punk said, you know, they were halfway through the season, they were looking a bit wobbly. But they came through, and that's a sign of a good team.
Yeah, they've definitely secured Chris Jones. Jarius Sneed was given the franchise tag, I believe. So he's still... on the market
at the moment. He's rumored to be, is it the Colts who are rumored to be looking at him?
There are teams still sniffing around, as they should.
Colts and Vikings, I think, were both sniffing around him.
Don't go to Minnesota. Don't go there.
They have lost a couple of pieces. So Nick Allegretti, the guard, he's gone to Washington. And Willie Gay, linebacker's gone to New Orleans. But other than that, they've brought in Marquise Brown, wide receiver from the Cardinals, and Irv Smith, tight end from the Bengals. Not amazing pickups, but some people are saying that the Marquise Brown's a good one. They've got seven picks in this draft. They've got just under 16 million in cap space at the moment, at 21st. And what biggest needs, I still think a wide receiver is going to be high on their list of priorities, as well as the O-line. I don't know if you agree.
If I'm them, I'm finding the heir apparent tight end and saying, look, just go and listen to Kelce for a season because it's not long until he's leaving them. And just go and learn how you manipulate space and how you move your body in to get into those situations. And why would you not do that?
I think they have to go receiver at some
Yeah.
point in this draft. They have to pick up at least a couple.
Do pick up seven. Pick up seven. Just hope one of them
Well,
sticks.
six
You
and
don't want
a
them doing that, do
tight end. There you go.
you? Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's I don't know, man. It's definitely the offensive side they need to work on. I mean, Pacheco, I still not for me a three down running back. I don't think he could take the entire workload, but
That's well, that's okay. I mean, you want to keep talking about the Chiefs, we can, but we
He
should be
loves them.
moving on.
He loves them.
Well, we're talking about the Raiders because they finished second in the division. So here we go.
Yeah, we did.
Finished 8-9 record last year. They were 6-11. Best game, worst game. I'm going to say the 20-14 away win at the Chiefs, but they did beat the Chargers 63-21 the week before that to finally get Brandon Staley fired. So both those wins were kind of a monkey's paw, right? Chiefs used it to run the table, and the Chargers hired Jim Harbaugh as a result. Worst game, this isn't even difficult. They lost at home to the Vikings team that scored 3 points. As a result, there's been a massive turnaround in the coaching staff. Tom Telesco, the ex-Chargers GM, is now the GM in Las Vegas. Antonio Pierce, the interim, got the head coach position. And Luke Getsy is the new offensive coordinator. So only Patrick Graham, the defensive coordinator, sticks around from last season. Punk, I suppose we'll throw it over to you, mate. How do you think your season went?
Most interesting thing, well, I mean, the best thing that happened last season was getting rid of Laughing Boy
Yeah, Josh
after what, four
McDaniels.
games or whatever. That
Week eight. Week eight,
was it
mate.
week eight? Was it as
Yeah.
long as that?
It
Well,
was.
that's
Yeah.
what I was
The
going to
loss to
say.
the
When you
Lions.
were saying the best and worst game, I'll say the best game is whichever one
The
got
one that
rid
got him
of.
fired.
Yeah,
Yeah.
The
That's
loss
the
to the
forget about
Lions.
everything else. That's the best game. End of, because that
Yeah. No,
changes a
I mean,
franchise. It's got 63 points.
you are right. There are the best games. You are right. Anytime you win away in Arrowhead is always fun, especially when you do it with a quarterback that doesn't complete a pass beyond the first quarter. And it was just one of those freak games where defense ruled. The most obvious thing that I saw last season was that the defense started stepping up. Second half of the season, they really did start becoming a good, solid defense. And I think some of the free agent pieces, such as Mr. Wilkins, who we've signed,
Yep,
will definitely.
$110 million for Christian
I don't
Wilkins.
care. I don't care. He's worth it. He's worth every penny. He's probably the best run stopping defensive tackle in the league, to be honest. He's
Maybe.
there's not many
It's
others.
the same with every single A'shaun Robinson.
But
It's the same as every
best thing.
single free agent. If they produce, then the money's irrelevant. It's as simple as
Absolutely.
that. It doesn't
Exactly.
matter what it is.
The best thing about it, though, is that it will free up some of the pressure on Max Crosby. So I fully expect those two to wreak havoc. And they're going to be the best trash talking defensive line in the league. So, they both like to open their mouths and give it the big one. So I love all that. On the flip side, I still don't feel like we've sorted out quarterback on the
Oh no,
offense.
okay.
We've
Gardner
picked up
Minshew, for
Minch.
those who don't know, has come in. 2 year deal
Yeah,
from the Colts,
I
25
think
mil.
Minshew is exactly that. I think he's a max 2 year player, 1 year as a bridge starter to whoever the rookie or Aiden O'Connell, whichever one makes the best progress. And then the second year will be him as a backup, to be honest. I'm not overly thrilled with it, but I don't hate it because he's on that kind of tweener money. So he's on what, 12 million each season? 12 and a half each season. So, he's not getting backup money, but he's not getting full on starter money either. So I just hope that we do go and get a rookie in the draft. I don't think we can go into the season with Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell and say that's a good quarterback room. I think it's an okay quarterback room. I think unless Gardner Minshew is going to make some strides that he hasn't yet made in the last couple of years, although he did well last season with the Colts, you know, almost led them to the playoffs, and maybe with a better receiving core, might be able to do more. We'll see. It'll be the first time that he's really had proper receivers to throw at. So,
Who's this isn't this is meant
there's
to
been no
be
move so far.
who's who what receivers you got apart from Adams?
Jacoby Myers,
Myers.
Trey Tucker, DJ Turner, and Christian Wilkerson. And then the tight end, you've got Michael
Okay.
Mayer,
Michael Mayer at
Harrison
the Mayer
Bryant
is
just
good.
brought over. So I'm
And
surprised they
Zamir
traded.
White's the running back, although we've brought in Mattison as well.
Yeah.
I mean, I suppose
I'm
all of
not
the other
sure about the Mattison
receivers,
one, but
I suppose all of the other receivers benefit from the fact that Adams is going to have two guys on him, so
always. Always. And
yeah,
Jacoby Myers
that's
is a decent player. He's a decent he was a decent
he's all
receiver in
right.
at the Patriots. Wait, as a number two, he's decent number two.
Well, you've got eight picks in this draft. You've
You
got
do.
just over 29 million in cap space. So I
We need a
think obviously
cornerback.
I think a quarterback though is still the biggest need for you guys. It
Yeah,
just
I'd
is.
agree.
But I
Yeah.
don't think you're going to draft one now, or at least
But
not
I
until like the
also
fifth
don't
round.
think it was sensible for us to go out and do something like 180 million for Cousins. I don't think that would have done us any
No,
favors at all.
you're
So
right.
I
I
like the
agree.
fact we're waiting. You know, who knows what actually happens. But I think cornerback, quarterback would be the two areas for me that I'd really want to see improved in the draft.
Okay, on to
And
team what
sorry,
though?
one thing before you move, before we move on, any cornerback that you do get, make sure that whatever college he was at, he was a team captain there, because the one thing your secondary really needs is a leader in the back, because it's been, I can't remember the last time you had a real, you know, healthy chess piece that's going to be a leader in the backfield. I think that's really, really
Charles
important.
Woodson. Charles Woodson's the last one.
We're not going to
Yeah.
go that far, just surely.
Well, it's the
It's not
Mr.
that
Time
one
guy.
player
It's
since
only
then. 6 years ago.
12.
No. Retired at us, you idiot.
Yeah.
Mean, Jerry Jeudy retired a Bronco, but that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, all right.
Well, come on. Let's go on to the third team then. The team that finished
Jerry
third in the
Rice.
division, the Denver Broncos. They went 8-9 this year. Last season, it was 5-12. Best game, worst game. Well, best game, was it the home win over the Chiefs or the away win over the Bills? Was it the 29-12 win over the Browns or the wins over the Chargers? I don't know, Dave. You let me know.
Chiefs.
Chiefs, good. Worst game, lost at home to the Patriots and Jets. Got swept by the Raiders. But
Nope,
we all
nope.
know what the worst game of the season was, don't we, Punk?
Yes, we do.
One that will take
Oh,
a while to
yes,
be
yes, yes, yes,
outdone.
yes.
70-20 versus the Dolphins. So, GM George Payton, head coach Sean Payton, offensive coordinator Joe Lombardi and defensive coordinator Vance Joseph all keep their jobs somehow. Dave, the season. Talk to me about it.
Well, that 70-point loss was a massive embarrassment, but we went on to win six of the next eight games on that. So in a way, it was probably a blessing in disguise. Listen, I
Yeah, but
think
no
last
one
week,
remembers those games, let's be honest.
no, only Broncos fans remember
Yeah.
those games. Everyone else just remembers the 70.
Carry on.
I think the season itself has been a frustrating one. I think there was many, many good points, a lot of very, very bad points. But yeah, the kind of season was what it was, but it's revolution now based on next season with the players that we've got rid of. We've cut a cord with Russell Wilson, obviously going, taking the cap hit on that. We've moved some cap around to create some space. Judy's now gone to the Browns. Yeah, I think that we're in a position where we want to get a new QB, and it's the start of a new era. That's essentially it. The season was, we had some good games, had some really terrible games. And when you end a season losing four of the last six, it kind of tells you what team you are when it's the money end of the season.
But for me, it felt like a team that was riling against the manager. The Sean Payton comes in with a massive stick and just wants to tear everything down. And there was all this discontent with Russell Wilson, where halfway through the season you ask him to tear up his contract and give him a better one.
That's but that's not the head coach doing that.
Well, you can say that, but they went and sat and
Just
asked him
did.
for it. After, well, okay, but okay, George Payton on his own, without any instruction from Sean Payton, told him to go and change the contract terms. So they benched him in week 17 for Jarrett Stidham. So, I mean, you kind of gave up on the season at the same time. It felt like last
Yes, but
season and now this one.
by then we were 7-8, so the season we were already out of the playoffs then.
It's so confusing to me about how Sean Payton's given the job. He must have gone in there saying, did he go in there saying, I want to tear everything down? Or did he go in there saying, oh yeah, I can work with Russell. Oh yeah, I can work with Jerry. Oh yeah, I can do all this and that, and I can get this stuff
Okay,
working because I'm an offensive guru. And now
and how?
he said, I don't want any of them. I've got to start again.
Okay,
What
so,
way, which way around was it?
well, first and foremost, so I think he built an offense around Russell Wilson and gave him the best shot of being successful. I just don't think he's that good at the moment, unfortunately. The offense, this looking at the offense, it's not a Sean Payton offense. It's just not. And
So
the
he didn't
things that he
build a Sean
was,
Payton offense. Well, weren't he
what?
built? It's Sean Payton, so
Because
won't he
Russell
come in?
Wilson's not capable of playing that.
Oh.
Punk, you've seen Russell Wilson personally 4 times now. Could he have done what Peyton asked Drew Brees to do?
No, he hasn't got
There you
the
go.
arm for it anymore. But
Or the
the
accuracy or the
problem,
ability to see a pass.
the problem you've got is that when you bought Russell Wilson, you thought you were getting the Seattle Seahawks Russell Wilson,
Yes.
and you just didn't have that. He never had that. He'd already gone. Seattle
Yes.
absolutely had your pants down around that.
Yes.
They knew he was shot and just palmed him off on you for a mega contract.
Well, no, they palmed him off, and then we gave him a
Gave him
mega
a, yeah.
contract for what reason, I don't know. The fact is, though, at last season, I'm not sure what else more Sean Payton could have done.
Russell
And this whole
Wilson
thing of
will
tear
be
it
no,
down.
yeah, but he'll be no more of a success in Pittsburgh than he was in Denver.
We'll see.
And the difference
We'll
is
see on
that
that.
Pittsburgh will get away with paying him 1.25 million, whereas you
Exactly,
paid
yeah.
him like the fortune
But
and
that's
then
fine.
some.
We'll
But
swallow it for a year and a bit or a couple of years, and it'll be fine. We've got 40 odd million now in cap space from
you've
being
got
able to move stuff
20.9.
around. And we
But
move
I'm
stuff around.
just the question. The main question I have though isn't so much around Russell Wilson. It's kind of what is Peyton's game plan? What is this team he's trying to build? Because
And
it
yeah, you got
doesn't.
eight draft picks, and look, I only see a quarterback as the biggest need for you guys.
It
Yeah.
doesn't
Well, we need
obviously.
a defensive tackle as well.
You need a receiver as well.
You've got Jarrett
No,
Stidham and Ben
we got good
DiNucci as your
receivers.
quarterbacks. You need
Yeah,
a
we need.
quarterback.
Yeah, we obviously we need a quarterback, Jim. Come on. No,
Well,
but I'm
that's what I'm
saying
saying. What are you
we
doing?
don't. I don't think necessarily think we need a receiver. We've got Courtland Sutton. Tim Patrick's coming back. Mims is on his
Yeah.
second year.
But Tim Patrick's forever getting injured.
No, he's had one injury, one major injury. It's just that it was one that
Lasts
took
for
him out
3 years.
for an entire. I mean, if you're gonna have an injury, what an injury to
Yeah.
have. But no, I think we're probably what you guys said we were at the beginning of last season. And in terms of tearing it down, we're not tearing it down. We've sold two pieces, one of whom
Justin Simmons
has
released.
underperformed and gone anyway. Justin
You want
Simmons
Cushion Bree, your center.
is a 30. Listen,
Josie Jewell.
Justin Simmons is a 31-year-old safety who we've got rid of. Josie Jewell was on a 1-year deal
Who's your best
anyway,
defensive piece, apart from PS2?
so he's not our best defensive piece then.
A second best
And
defensive piece. All right, sorry for
yeah, so it's a
picking him up.
31-year-old safety who's now gone. Josie Jewell was a middle linebacker who signed a 1-year deal. It's not tearing it down. All it is simply, look, pieces have now moved on and we'll bring other players in. That's all it is.
Yeah, Brandon
But I
Jones,
just
Malcolm
don't see
Roach,
the
and Cody
overall
Barton.
plan. That's the bit that sticks with
Yeah.
me. It's like you can't say he's that you're not doing anything obvious to say, oh, you're going to be a really good defensive team or
Yes,
you're going to be a really
but
good offensive team. And there's just I don't see what you're doing. We're trying to build a better defense.
the reason
We're
that you're not seeing it, though, is because of the Russell Wilson contract. What
maybe.
has that? Because we can't really do anything major in free agency, so we're going to have to build it through the draft. What I fully expect us to do is what LA did. Sorry, I know I've blown your clock out, Jim,
Well,
completely.
I
But
knew we'd
what I
go long, but
expect us to
this is
do
crazy.
is do exactly what LA did last year, where you just sign 200 undrafted
100
free
free agents and
agents and
see
just
what
hope you hit one.
happens.
That's what it
Yeah.
has to be. And there's nothing wrong with doing that. I mean, LA proved it was the right thing to do. The Rams absolutely killed it.
All right, we're going to move on to the final team now in the AFC West. The
Good job. This is
base.
only going to take a minute, so it's fine.
We get five for them, and that is the LA Chargers. They went 5-12 this year. Last year, they were 10-7. So a massive drop down there. Best game, worst game. The Chargers had a bad year. Only 5 wins and none against a playoff team. The best team they beat was maybe the Vikings in Minnesota, 28-24. They then beat the Raiders, but that was still with Josh McDaniels, Raiders, so it doesn't really count. Worst game, the 63-21 game at the Raiders did at least clear out Brandon Staley. I think the 24-7 home loss to the Broncos the week before probably hurt more, though, for the Chargers. As a result, it's a complete sea change in the front office. New GM in Joe Hortiz, who was the Ravens' director of player personnel. Jim Harbaugh is the big name coming across as the Michigan head coach. He also brings Jesse Minter, the defensive coordinator from Michigan, with him. And Greg Roman, the Ravens offensive coordinator, so obviously his brother's OC, has come across as well. Who wants to go first on the Chargers?
They lost Justin Herbert and just got stuffed every game after that. It's fairly simple. They were really poorly coached last year. And yes. I think the personnel they brought in wasn't particularly great in certain places. They've had a lot of players leave, a huge amount of players leave, and they're really in purgatory now in terms of what their identity is going to be. They need receivers.
Yeah.
They really need receivers.
Josh Palmer is currently their wide receiver one.
Yeah. Palmer did have a good game against the Raiders. I remember he had a couple of big plays in that one where you put 60 on him.
Yeah, but it's easy when you've got Keenan Allen and Williams. And by the end of that game, let's be honest, you know, we were
probably
playing
had your threes in.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a little bit deceptive to say that. But yeah, no, I don't think he's a terrible receiver, but he's certainly not a one.
If you're Justin Herbert,
you've got to be looking at it going, well, what the bloody hell is going on?
Well, they've lost Austin Eckler now. He's gone to Washington. Gus Edwards has come in from the Ravens running back.
If they keep
and they brought
fit,
in Will
Disley
and Hayden Hurst at tight
end.
We've
said that about Edwards for years, though. Yeah, if you can keep him fit, no one's been able to. So,
yeah,
I don't think you can hitch the wagon to him.
Yeah, which means they're then looking at Isaiah Spiller as their backup running
Spiller's
back.
Spiller's garbage.
Well, there you go. They've got 9 picks in this draft. They did do a trade with Keenan Allen to the Bears, so they got a 4th-round pick for that. Obviously, he's like 31 years old. Keenan Allen's had a lot of good seasons. Like, isn't it 1,000 yards every season? Kind of a Mike Evans-style stat?
Pretty much. He's very much in that kind of Mike Evans bracket of consistency. Keenan Allen's... I always feel a little bit sorry for Keenan Allen just because he's always played on the Chargers teams where they just don't seem to get him the ball enough.
No.
He's definitely in that kind of Mike Evans group of consistent 1,000-yard receivers. So
I was watching a podcast from on a part of the Underdog Fantasy podcast network, and one thing they mentioned about Keenan Allen, because I always liked him, but I just don't really resent the fact he played for the Chargers. One of them suggested that they should do what the Arizona did with Larry Fitzgerald and move him inside and play him in the slot and let him learn that, because he's got the hands for it. He's got the size. It's almost like convert to an inside tight end kind of a role, which I don't know about. Or the other thing to do would be just have him purely as a red zone package and just bring him in. Because they said the thing that they're afraid of is, again, talking about Arizona, when AJ Green went to Arizona and just fell off a cliff, similar body type, similar type of player.
Mm-hmm.
Less angry, but you know. No, this is their best game was the one where they lost. What's his face? Head coach
Brandon Staley.
Yep. Well, they'll be better next year.
$39.6 million in cap space, so they're fourth best in cap space. They got the 5th pick in the draft. I said 9 picks. But they're not doing anything. I mean, there's a big turnaround, but nothing major. You know, nothing that's going to blow your skirt up. My biggest need, I think, for them is a cornerback. Right now,
I think they need to work on the defense. It all depends as well, because maybe Harbaugh wants to come in and say, look, let me learn the personnel. Let me figure out who they are, because I believe I can coach them better than they've been coached and the team will be significantly better based on that alone. And his ego probably, you know, allows for some of that. But I can see why he's coming and said, look, I'm a new head coach, new GM. Let me figure out where we are and then we'll bring someone in.
Possibly. Yeah, that could be what he's doing.
But they should have kept Austin Eckler.
I do think letting Eckler walk was silly.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
But you know,
he's been unhappy for a long time in that.
I was going to say it's not necessarily all one sided, is it? Eckler's not.
Nope.
He's already. But if you give him some dollar signs, he'll be happy enough.
Yeah, no. At the end of the day, it is a business, and like you say, if you put enough pound notes down, then people will do whatever you fancy telling them to do. So. It is a strange one, but equally it could just be a bit of a, well, let's clear out some space this year, you know, maybe end up 7-8 next year and then build from there. I think it's going to be an interesting season to watch for the Chargers anyway.
We've got one division to go, and that is the NFC West. A division that produced a Super Bowl team, at least to a attend it anyway. So we're going to start with that team, and that was the San Francisco 49ers. They went 12-5 this year. Last season was 13-4. Best game, worst game. Could put the NFC Championship comeback over the Lions, but they were getting waxed in the first half. They did put 42 points on both the Cowboys and the Eagles, though, so I'll pick the Eagles game because that was in Philly. Worst game, there were some bad losses in the middle of the season to the Browns, Vikings, and Bengals. Plus, the Ravens waxed them 33-19, but they choked another 10-point lead in the Super Bowl, boys. So I'm giving them the Super Bowl loss as their worst of the season. Front office, John Lynch as the GM, Kyle Shanahan still as the head coach slash offensive coordinator, but Nick Sorensen is the new defensive coordinator. He was the assistant defensive coordinator before. Steve Wilks got fired after the Super Bowl, fairly or unfairly, considering how the two sides of the 49ers played.
Unfairly.
Talk to me about the 49ers.
Well, I feel Steve Wilks is like the most unlucky guy. He had his head on the block, and he was given the blame for what happened in Arizona when it was Josh Rosen's first year. I mean, that was
only year. I was going to ask the closet Bay fan.
True. I'll hand over.
I 49ers are a weird one to me because it kind of feels like they have the team to do it, and they just can't get over that hump. They just can't get over that hump. Now, whether it takes a different coach or just a different set of circumstances, I don't know. But it's look, at the end of the day, they are, in theory, personnel-wise on paper, the best team in the NFL still. You know, there are not a lot of holes on that roster, even this year, coming up. So, they're going to say Brock Purdy's fine. Brock Purdy's done really well, et cetera, et cetera. You know, you could upgrade at quarterback if you wanted to. But, you know, whether they've got that cap space or
they've brought
anything
in Josh
there,
Dobbs as a backup.
Yeah, but that's Sam Darnold as a backup. Because, you know,
Brandon Allen's the third string.
It's what Josh Dobbs does, isn't it? So yes. I think, you know, they are hitching to Purdy again. But really, this is got to be the make or break season for them. You know, I don't think they can. It was strange when they had that little run of losing to Cleveland and a couple of other teams as well. It was almost like the team had forgotten how to get in front. But they, you know, they're a strange team because they cannot play from behind. They're really good at defending leads as long as they're big enough, apart from against the Chiefs, but they cannot play from behind. And you'd think with, you know, Debo and Ayuk and Kittle, they'd really, really be able to do that. But they're a strange team to me. I'm really not quite sure what they are. But again, look at it on paper, and they should be exactly where they were last season in the Super Bowl.
Well, you say that, but there's a massive turnaround on the roster. A load of players that have now gone. Arik Armstead to Jacksonville, defensive end Chase Young to New Orleans. Sam Darnold as the backup quarterback. Javon Kinlaw, they've gone defense, as well as Cleveland Ferrell. You know, there's a lot of names that have just gone from that defensive side of the ball. And they brought in Leonard Floyd for $20 million from Buffalo, outside linebacker. Yitor Gross-Matos from the Panthers, a defensive end for $18 million. Jordan Elliott, defensive tackle from the Browns for $10 million. And then I said Josh Dobbs, obviously. They've got $14 million in cap space. They also traded for Malik Collins. They gave up a seventh-round pick in the draft to Houston to bring him across on a big deal. He'll go straight into the starting lineup. And there's also some rumours about Brandon Ayuk getting moved to a certain level.
He got twitchy.
Yeah.
Hopefully yeah, there's rumours about Kittle retiring as well.
Well, he's definitely lost a step, I would
well,
say.
Well, he was talking, he was on a podcast, I don't know which one it was, I didn't watch it, but there was someone else who was commentating on it saying, Kittle was saying, on a Monday morning he can barely move, he can't get up. And the thing he loves more than anything is training, but he can't train anymore because he's too stiff from the games. And it's just how long do you want to keep doing it for?
Yeah,
I mean, the thing is, his style of play lends itself to being... and knackered after by the time you hit 30, you're done. Yeah, no, it's a good season for the 49ers. I think a lot of us expected them to either have to move off Purdy or at least face the fact that he's not the guy, but they seem to love him, they seem to believe in him. He's Brock Purdy is Bo Nix's comp as well. So yeah, if we do end up with him, that's our future.
He doesn't make many mistakes, does he? I mean, that's
No, it's
the
true.
good
It's
thing
true.
for Purdy. It doesn't get too many problems for you. But there we go.
He's very Trent Dilfer.
It worked before, but that was a long time ago. So the team that finished second in the NFC West were the LA Rams. 10-7 this season. They were 5-12 the season before. Best game, worst game. They swept the Cardinals, but so what? They swept the Seahawks, which was unexpected, especially the week one 30-13 win in Seattle. They shut out the home team in the second half, and both Tutu Atwell and Puka had 119 receiving yards. So I'm taking that one as best game. Worst game, there was a rough spell where they lost at home to the Steelers, then got whipped in Dallas 43-20, and then in Green Bay 20-3. So I couldn't really separate those ones. The head office, Les Snead is the GM, head coach Sean McVay still there, and Mike LaFleur, offensive coordinator. The only change that's defensive coordinator was Chris Schuler, who was the linebacker coach, has now been promoted for this season. So, boys, the Rams, this was not expected really at the start of the season for them to be as good as they were.
I think the first half, their season is literally defined in two halves. They had week 1 to 9, and going into that, they'd only won three games, they'd lost six, and they really, really were not playing brilliant football. Then they had a bye week, and they came back, had what, seven games, eight games, lost one, and that was an OT loss against a really, really good Baltimore team. We said at the beginning of the season, they basically banked on a lot of youth. And I think you can see that in the first half of the season, those players were really learning the NFL and learning how to play. And by the time they came to sort of week 11 onwards, where they literally only was, lost one game, they really started to learn how to play. Now, those young players then go into a playoff game against Detroit and lose. They only lose
By
by a
one
point, but
point,
they
yeah.
lose nevertheless. They'll be a lot stronger next year, depending on how Stafford is, because his neck's not going to be getting better. So you have to say, look, I hope that they game plan for him, but at the same time, they're a team that's really, really done well this season. Puka Nacua as a low level draft was just inspired.
He's
Really, really
phenomenal.
good.
Yeah. He was phenomenal.
Unbelievable.
I mean, the
Unbelievable.
running back as well, whose name is escaping me right now.
Kyren Williams.
Kyren Williams.
Yeah.
The pair of them, I mean, going into the season, you're absolutely right. We all kind of thought, well, they might win three or four if they're lucky and Stafford stays fit.
Yeah.
No,
And by week
they
9, you weren't far away from that. They were
yeah,
really not doing
well, yeah.
well.
But I mean, that second half of the season, they really stepped up. I think fully deserved to make the playoffs in the end. I think the fact that they're not relying just on Cooper Kupp anymore is probably music to their ears because, it does help free up other players when he's getting double teamed all the time. But the fact they've now actually kind of got those players that can step up and make those yards and take some of the pressure off Kupp and Stafford to do everything. I think it's great. And it kind of just goes to show that even after kind of a down year and everyone kind of starting to doubt McVay a little bit, he's still a very good coach. He still knows how to get the best out of his players and they definitely play for him. So I think it'd be interesting to see what the Rams do this year. Obviously, the loss of Aaron Donald will be huge. There's just no replacing him at the minute. No matter what you do. So yeah, it's going to be an interesting season, I think, for the Rams. I think offensively they're going to look better, certainly than they did in the start of last season. But defensively is going to be the question this time around, I think, more than the offense.
Yeah.
Well,
But I think they should
they've
do
made
what they.
steps to improve the offense because they brought in Jimmy G as the backup quarterback, obviously suspended for two
Absolutely.
games because of playing about with Peds, but yeah, he's in there as well as Jonah Jackson, the guard from Detroit, $51 million 3-year deal.
Jackson's good.
Yeah, the other good pickup was Darius Williams at cornerback from the Jags. I like him, $22.5 million on the 3-year deal. I still think they need to do some work on the cornerback position and probably more importantly edge, especially with Donald not being there to apply pressure. They've got 11 picks in this draft, 11. And they've currently got just under 25, sorry, 24 and a half million in cap. So not lost anyone massive, apart from obviously Donald, but that's from retirement. Nothing that Les Snead did. So yeah, I think they're probably primed to do pretty well next season, but they do need to work on that defensive line because Donald's probably worth three or four men on his own.
I agree
So
with
read
that.
my Gods Among Us article if you want to hear some more about Aaron Donald. That's at patreon.com/finaldown. But yeah, I just think it's going to be a good. I think it's going to be a good season for the Rams. I'm not going to underestimate them like I did last season. Two to go, and we're hitting the third team in the NFC West. That was the Seattle Seahawks. They went 9-8. They went 9-8 the season before that. Best game, worst game. The Seahawks beat a lot of bad teams, but they didn't have many W's against the playoff teams. I picked the week two win in Detroit, 37-31, though. That was a good one. Worst game, they swept the Cardinals, but so what? Then they got swept by both the Rams and the 49ers. I'm picking the week nine stinker in Baltimore just because it was 37-3. Every game, they scored at least 13 points. That was out of character for them. As a result, there's been a massive change in the front office. John Schneider, the GM, sticks around, but head coach is now Mike McDonald, the Ravens defensive coordinator, as Pete Carroll's been moved on. And he's brought in Ryan Grubb, Washington Huskies offensive coordinator, and Aiden Durdee, the Cowboys defensive line coach, who is British, I believe. So that's pretty good. Obviously, I'd like to turn to Finn now. He's not here, but he has written down something for me to read out. So I'm going to be now
Oh.
channeling Finn. And this is his review on the Seahawks. Disappointing season. Thought we would have been closer to the Niners, but we went the opposite way. Didn't help that the Rams sorted themselves out and took second spot, which I thought we would have. Poor defense throughout the season, susceptible to the pass game, allowing too many points against each season. Shame to see Carroll go, but he had a good innings, and now it's time to rebuild. I just need to make everyone aware that he hasn't died. That sounded quite morbid, but yeah, Pete Carroll is no longer with them, with the Seahawks. So yeah, there's been a big sea change in the roster. But guys, talk to me about the Seahawks.
I think he's exactly right. I think it's a disappointing season with the talent that they've got. Massively disappointed in Jackson Smith and Jigba. Really, really disappointed. I don't
Just
think he
wasn't
had a.
used.
No, yeah, that's it. Absolutely. I mean, but you look at it now and you think for the excitement that it was garnished when he was drafted, he just wasn't there. I think it's proven that Geno Smith's not the answer. They need to go and get someone else. And, yeah, I mean, the thing is, in their division, there's three big teams and Arizona. And they lost all of the games against the 49ers and the Rams. And you're not going to have any success in division and get to a playoffs when you do that. So they need to sort that out. Obviously, won both games against Arizona. Goes without saying.
No,
But yeah.
I echo what you say exactly. I think it was a disappointment. I think they showed glimpses, like you mentioned that game against
Not against
Detroit.
anyone good, though.
Well, the game against Detroit, you kind of early in the season, Detroit were coming off the win against Kansas, and everyone was looking at Detroit and bigging them up as, playoff contenders. So when the Seahawks went in there and won, although it was, a bit of a shootout in overtime and all the rest of it. It was kind of one of those, oh, right, okay, maybe Seattle have got something here and they've got enough pieces to at least make the playoffs, even if it's just a wild card and done or something. But they just never really got properly going after that. It was, and you're right, with the players they've got, it was really disappointing to see. I mean, Big Lad receives the ball a lot.
DK Metcalf.
Oh, yes, DK Metcalf. Jesus. You'll have to excuse me. I'm still on Australia time.
Why?
DK Metcalf is he was there,
Angry.
but no, he was just getting angry and frustrated and picking fights with people rather than actually trying
No,
to.
blindsiding them. It wasn't picking fights. Picking fights when you go up to someone going, all right, I want you to put my pint, I want to fight with you. If I walk up to you and punch you in the back of the head and run, that's not picking a fight.
That was kind of what he was doing this season,
Yeah.
yeah.
The
And
thing is, how much, and I want to ask you two a question, how much does it affect your team when you've got loads of young players and their team is incredibly young, having a bye week in week five? Because by the time
Yeah,
you
that's
come to
not weird.
week 14 and 15, other teams have had that rest and the bye week is like legit important. And you're
That shouldn't be allowed.
knackered.
That should not be allowed, to be
It is
honest. Yeah, no,
ridiculous. It's far too early that bye week. I mean, ideally you want the bye week kind of about week 12, 13,
Nine. It's dead in the
somewhere
middle.
around
Dead in the
there.
middle. Yeah.
No,
Week
not
10.
for me.
Let's
I like to get the majority games done, but then have that rest before the playoff push.
You haven't got a playoff chance. Don't worry about that.
Absolutely.
No. Okay. We've got to keep going. They re-signed Leonard Williams for $64.5 million at defensive end. They lost Damian Lewis, their guard. They lost Jordan Brooks, linebacker. Will Disley, Bobby Wagner's gone as well. DJ Dallas, Drew Locke's gone to the Giants. Devin Bush. They've re-signed Artie Burns for some reason. But they've brought in no one massive. Rayshon Jenkins from the Jags is the biggest move for $12 million. And they traded for Sam Howell from the Commanders. They've got seven picks in the draft. $17.5 million in cap.
When I said they needed a new quarterback, I'd forgotten about Sam Howell. I love Sam Howell. I think he's got such potential. Really has. And I was gutted that the Broncos didn't manage to get him. Apparently we did inquire, but we just couldn't offer what Seattle could in terms of attractiveness of an organization. He basically chose Seattle instead of us. But yeah, that's a great pickup.
Yeah, they switched it for a third and a fifth. They got back a fourth and a sixth. So, moved down a couple of rounds. Okay, on to the final team. I would say last but not least, but in some respects, they probably were least. It is the Arizona Cardinals, 4-13. The season before, they were 4-13, so that's quite nice. Best game, worst game. Only four to choose from for best game, so I'm picking the Week 3 win over the Cowboys. They beat them in both halves with no one expecting them to do anything but roll over. Josh Dobbs getting it done with before his jersey was even in the club shop. Worst game, it was always going to be a down year with no Kyler for the majority of the year. They got swept by all three teams in their division, but also got shut out in Week 9 by Cleveland, 27-0, with Clayton Tune quarterbacking for the Cards, as it was the last game before Kyler got back from injury. So there we go. No change, though, in the front office. Monty Osenfort is still the GM. Jonathan Gannon, the head coach. Drew Petzing, the offensive coordinator, and Nick Rallis, the defensive coordinator. Who wants to talk about the Cardinals first?
Well, I think the reason they've all been kept is because it was first year for a lot of them.
It was, yeah.
Starting Josh Dobbs and then Clayton Tune up and to including week nine, you're on a hiding to nothing. The only thing I can say about the Arizona Cardinals with any kind of success is shout out to Phil in predicting that they'd beat Dallas in week three. Positive thing I can say about
beautiful move
about the Cards. I got nothing, man. Sorry. They're exactly what we thought it was. They were useless.
Exactly. They literally played the way we thought they would play. They won about as many games. In fact, they probably won more games than we thought they'd win, to be honest. There's just nothing really to say about the Cardinals at the minute other than they need to get better quickly.
Yeah. Do you know what the thing is, though? If you think back to all the podcasts that we've done during the season, I don't ever really remember us talking about them. Apart from Dallas game.
That's the only time we ever really talked about them.
Other than that. Yeah.
No, I don't think so. And I don't think they warrant 5 minutes, to be honest.
Yeah, let's call it 2 minutes.
We've got a couple because they are doing a lot of work to restructure the roster. Marquise Brown has gone to the Chiefs on a 1 year deal, as we mentioned earlier. And they've also got rid of Rondale Moore. He's gone to Atlanta because they picked up Desmond Ridder as a backup quarterback for Kyler. So not quite sure about that one, to be honest. I think that Atlanta got the better half of that deal because Rondale Moore was at least pretty good at wide receiver for them last season. They've also lost Leki Fotu. The defensive tackle has gone to the Jets and Ezekiel Turner, linebacker, has gone to the 49ers. They've brought in Justin Jones for $31 million, a defensive tackle from the Bears. Jonah Williams, right tackle from the Bengals. Sean Murphy Bunting from the Titans, a cornerback.
Good player.
And a couple of Bilal Nichols, Mac Wilson, DJ Dallas. You know, no one massive. They haven't also sorted out Buda Baker. I think he's got a conditional offer on free safety, one of their number one picks in drafts gone by. So we'll see what happens there. They've got $30.5 million in cap space, and they've got 11 picks in this draft. They're picking four. Now, a lot of mock drafts are saying that they're going to move down because they've got the quarterback, and obviously there's a lot of quarterback needy teams
Marvin
here.
Harrison, if I'm then,
you've got 11 picks. You don't need to move down in this draft. So yeah, the consensus is they're actually going to take Marvin Harrison if they're not allowed to trade. Marvin Harrison is the pick, and that makes a massive amount of sense. He is the consensus number one wide receiver in a very good wide receiver class in this draft. I think it's gonna hopefully I think they're gonna do pretty well next season. I think they're gonna do maybe 7 wins.
Behave.
I think seven.
The
With
thing is, they've
Marvin
got enough
Harrison,
cap
I think they can do it.
space. They've got enough cap space, and they've got enough. They've got enough pieces in terms of draft capital to be able to go out and get and be aggressive. Do exactly what Chicago have done. I mean, who would have thought we'd be sitting here saying Chicago are the standard of what you need to do to improve? But Arizona haven't been aggressive. Go and get Chase Young. They're offering him
It's too
12
late
million.
now.
Go and get, I know he's gone to the Saints, but go and get Chase Young. Why not? They weren't in the conversation as far as I could see for anyone. And all they've done is to try and improve. He's gone and get Desmond Ridder. It's like going to hospital with, oh, I've got an ingrown toenail. It's all right, Mr. Arizona. We've amputated your leg from the knee downwards. I mean,
Much
yes, it's
better
going
now,
to sort
doctor.
it out.
Thank
It's not going
you.
to do anything for you, is it?
I've got no more ingrown toenail.
Yeah, useless. There's another year of purgatory. Well done. It makes me feel better about the Broncos, put it that way.
Yeah, well,
their roster moves have included four starters on defense that just come straight in, which kind of tells you a little bit about how bad they've been last season on defense. But yeah, and I think if they lose Buda Baker, it's going to be even worse. But like I said, I think they're
Buda
going to make some
Baker's a
good
good
moves.
player.
I'm hoping
I'm
that
amazed we managed 5 minutes there, to be honest.
It was mostly Jim.
Yeah,
Yeah,
it was a
true.
lot. I hope
And me
Monty
making
Austin
a
Ford has a
joke about
good draft.
amputation.
That's it. 32 teams have been autopsied. Yes, so now we can finally put that season to bed and we can say no more. We're now looking forwards to the draft, and that's the end of April. So plenty of stuff to do in that. Because finally stop looking at all the other stats and just concentrate on the rookies. Yeah, so that's that. We'll be back next week to start talking about draft content. But that is the autopsy done. You can check out the other ones, obviously, at thefinaldown.com, or go to patreon.com/finaldown to check out all of our extra content and all our videos there as well. So, until next week, I've been Jim. That's been Emma Dave. That's been Punk Raider. Thank you very much for listening.